The reading today is from John's Gospel, John 15, it's on page 1083 of the Bible, and it's verses 9 to 17, which covers the verse we've just been remembering. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. This is Jesus speaking. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. These are the words of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and we pray, please, now that you'd help us to understand it, to be moved by it, and to obey it. Amen. If later today you're tempted to have a water fight, and looking out at you, I can imagine lots of you would be thinking about having that. Which do you go for? Do you go for the water pistol or do you go for the hose? Everyone knows that the water pistol is good to a certain extent, but if you've got control of the hose in the garden, you win, because the water pistol will run out. But the hose connected to the tap has an unending supply. You're the winner if you've got the hose. Jesus, in the passage that we've just read, commands us twice to love each other. But you notice, I hope you noticed as it was read, that for most of the passage, Jesus is not telling us how to go about loving one another. For most of the passage, he is talking about the disciples' relationships not with each other, but with him. Why? The answer is that if we're going to love one another like a hose, with unending love, we need to be connected to our relationship with him. If we just go out of here, just with the command to love one another, we will go like water pistols, and we will go and we will try to love one another, and after a while we'll dry up and we'll give up. But if we connect our love with one another to our love for Jesus, to our relationship with Jesus, we will become like hoses, where we can keep going at loving one another because we're connected to him. So we're going to look at this passage and see how Jesus talks about, connects the horizontal and the vertical, our relationships with one another with our relationship with him. And we'll see how Jesus connects the two. And we're going to do that with 3 points. Why love each other, how to love each other, and experiencing love. Okay? Why love each other, how to love each other, and experiencing love. First one. why love each other. Have a look at the verses. Start with verse 9. And what you see is actually Jesus doesn't begin by talking about our relationship with him. He talks about his relationship with his Father, with God the Father. That's the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Son, and he's talking about his relationship with his Father to begin with. So verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So he's saying, he's letting us in on his relationship with his Father. He's saying, I have been loved by my Father, and I pass that love on to you. So as you look through the Gospels and you see Jesus loving his followers, what you're seeing is Jesus pouring out the love that he has received from his Father. Do you see Jesus is loving like a hose? He's connected to his Father. He knows his Father's love. And it is that love that he passes on, that flows out to the disciples. That's what he's saying. We keep going. Second half of verse 9. Now remain in my love. So he's saying to the disciples, I love you, I'm loving you with the love of the Father. Now remain in that love. Now that may surprise you. Because we know that God's love to us, Jesus' love for us, is a love which is gracious. It is not dependent on us. It is just about his love. And yet this is saying that you can remain in Jesus' love, which presumably means it's possible not to. Don Carson, in his commentary on John, says this. Our continued enjoyment of that love, of Jesus' love, turns, at least in part, on our response to it. You and I, if we're going to keep experiencing, keep knowing to greater depths Jesus' love, we need to remain in it. How do you remain in Jesus' love? Verse 10. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. So how do we keep in Jesus' love, keep experiencing it, keep knowing it to greater depths? Through obeying Jesus. And he's saying that's his experience with the Father. Do you see? He's saying he knows the Father's love, but he remains in the Father's love by obeying his Father. And we see that throughout Jesus' life. And he's saying, you need to do the same thing with me. If you're going to remain in my love, obey me. Obey me. Now, that doesn't sound very exciting, does it? Obedience, sort of obey me, then you remain in my love. It doesn't sound very gripping, very exciting. But that's why Jesus then goes on to say, verse 11, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. See, he's saying this is the way to real, lasting, complete joy. By obeying me so that you'll remain in my love. This is where you get joy, he's saying. Okay, so Jesus pours out the love of the Father to his followers. And he says, remain in that love. And we go, okay, we want to remain in that love. How do we remain? By obeying. And that is the way to complete joy. Okay, so what is the command? What is Jesus' command to us so that we can remain in his love? Verse 12, we know what it is, don't we? We've already learned it. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Now, do you see there that what Jesus is doing is he's connecting our relationships with one another to our relationship with him? He's saying, you want to remain in my love? You want to grow in my love? You want to have increasing joy? Love one another. That's my command. That connects the two, doesn't it? To change the analogy from this. Often we think of our relationship with God and our relationship with one another as maybe being like a train and a carriage. A train and a carriage. The train, the bit with the engine, that's probably our relationship with God. And we think that's the most important bit. And our relationships with one another, that's the carriage. And that's good, and they go together. But actually, we could probably think, well, maybe our relationships with one another, well, they could go into a siding for a bit. It wouldn't matter so much if we didn't meet with one another. Maybe if I didn't keep coming to church or didn't keep coming to home group or, you know, it wouldn't matter really if I wasn't with other Christians, because the main thing is my relationship with God. And as long as that keeps going, then I'm okay. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. Actually, it's more like a double-decker bus. Our relationship with him and our relationship with one another are so closely connected. And we need to change our thinking to match that. See, he's saying the two go together. If you're going to remain in my love, you need to love one another because that's obeying my commands. They're so closely connected that if you're feeling at the moment that you're feeling that your relationship with Jesus is not going that strongly, that it's not that vibrant, it's not that exciting, maybe one of the issues could be that you're not obeying his command. You're not looking to love other people, other believers. Because he's saying, if you're going to remain in my love, you're going to obey me and you're going to love other believers. So the two are connected. But also, if you're not feeling like loving other believers, you still go, well, rather not. Actually, that reflects on your relationship with Jesus. Because actually, if you love Jesus, you know Jesus is love, you're going to say, I want to remain in that love, and therefore I'm going to want to obey his commands and love others. The two are really closely connected. Why should we love each other? Because we want to remain in Jesus' love. We want to know his love more. We want to experience his joy more. So that's why. Second, how to love each other. How are we to go about doing this? Well, we see this verses 12 and 13, don't we? Jesus says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You see, Jesus is saying our relationship with him is not only the why, but it's also the how. He's saying, love one another to remain in my love, but also look at the way I've loved you. Love each other that way. Now, do you see the chain that Jesus is putting together? He's saying the love comes from the Father to him. He pours that out to the disciples, and it's the same love that we are then to love one another with. It's the same love. And it is a self-sacrificial love, isn't it? Jesus is saying, this is love. This is the greatest love, to lay down your life for your friends. And he's saying, love each other in that way. Love each other in radical, self-sacrificial ways. And Jesus has shown this, hasn't he? He's already shown that how they're to love one another. This passage is within the Last Supper. It's sort of the Upper Room Discourse, it's known as. This is just before Jesus is about to die. But at the beginning of that time, what does Jesus do for his followers? He washes their feet, takes the role of a servant and washes their feet. And just after this, he's about to go and die for them. So he's saying, this is what I'm doing. This is how I'm loving you. Love each other this way. And this would have been essential for them. One of the themes that comes through these chapters is the fact that Jesus is just about to leave them. He's just about to go, and he does, by dying for them. And there's a theme of the fact the world is going to hate them because they're his followers. How are they going to keep going? How are they going to keep going through the trials, through the difficulties, without Jesus? He's saying, you're going to be able to do this by loving each other, as I've loved you. You keep it going. You do it for one another. How do you and I keep going in a world where there are struggles, where you're struggling, where there are difficulties? How are we going to be able to keep going as believers? By loving one another, radically, self-sacrificially, loving each other. And there are many ways that we can do this. I wonder, when you come to church, why you come to church? Why you come together? Why you come to Emmanuel? Well, I hope there are many reasons, actually. I hope there are lots of reasons that you enjoy coming together, that we enjoy singing together, that you enjoy the teaching. Come for the teaching. Maybe you come for other things as well. Maybe it's the coffee. You just really love the coffee that's served here. And well done for those who are going to be on duty later. It's good stuff. But we need to learn from this that a major reason for coming together is love. That we look for ways, self-sacrificially, to love one another. Will you do that? I know lots of people do. But when you come to church, it's very easy to come to church with the mentality of, what am I going to get out of this? Actually, we also need to be coming to church saying, how can I love others in the church family? And you can do that in big ways. Jesus is saying, yes, be self-sacrificial and be prepared to die for one another. That can be big ways of loving one another, but it can also be in the little things as well. I remember in my teenage years when I was going along to a church in Cambridge, youth group at that church, one of the youth leaders came along to a drama production I was in. He and his wife came to that drama production at school. And you think back on that and go, I mean, the fact that he's prepared to go to a school drama production for someone he's not even related to, I mean, that must have been quite a sacrifice to go and do that. You think back, wow, good sacrifice. But he did that out of love. You know, to say, I love you and I care for you. Well, that's a great thing, isn't it? I mean, it may not have been a huge thing, but actually that really touched me that he was prepared to do that. He and his wife came along. We can do this for one another in a whole load of ways. It may just be a text message. It may be a phone call. It may be asking someone how they're doing. And then the following week, following up, saying, how are you doing on that? How's things going? I've been praying for you. It can be big things. It can be little things. Will we love one another in self-sacrificial, radical ways? So that's how. And third, experiencing love. Experiencing love. Jesus then goes on to the kind of relationship that he has with them. He tells them how close he is to them. And he says that there are two ways that they can see how close he is to them. And the first is the way he speaks to them. See that in verse 15. He says, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my father, I've made known to you. So he's saying, I'm not calling you servants. I don't call you my servants. Now, there is a sense in which we are still servants of Jesus, and he goes on to use that language a little later on. But we're more than servants. We are Jesus's friends, he says. And he says, you can see that by the way I speak to you. The fact that I tell you things. Because a master doesn't tell his servant things. When you go to a restaurant, the waiter comes to your table. All you need to do is tell the waiter what you want. You don't need to go into detail as to why you want it. You don't need to open up about why you're there that evening. Now, some waiters don't know this. Some waiters get it wrong, and they think they've got to be really chummy with you and, you know, sit down at the table with you and that sort of thing. Well, that's going too far, isn't it? That's not the relationship that you're wanting with them. You're not wanting to develop friendship with them. You just want to tell them the order for the food, and that's okay, because they're waiters and waitresses. Okay, so, but Jesus is saying, I'm not treating you like that. I'm not just telling you the orders. I'm opening up to you. I'm telling you what my Father has told me. And for us too, through the apostles' writings, we too have what Jesus taught them. And so he calls us friends as well. Now, you may find that a little bit cheesy, the idea of, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus. But actually, that is an incredible thing, isn't it? That Jesus is saying, you're my friend. I don't call you my servant. I don't just dismiss you. You're my friend because I open up to you. And more than that, he says, it's not just the way he speaks to them. It's the fact he's chosen them. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then you will ask the Father, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. He's saying, not only are you my friends, I chose you. I chose you. And for anyone to be a Christian, for anyone to be a follower of Jesus, Jesus must have chosen them before the creation of the world, the Bible tells us. It says, actually, I chose you. Now, all kinds of questions may come up in our minds as to why does Jesus choose me and not others? Why choose some, not all? You know, all those kind of things. Don't miss the emotional impact of this for those questions. Now, we can talk about those questions as well at other times. But actually, the point of this is to ram it home to you to say, you're a believer, you're a follower of Jesus. That's because he chose you before the foundation of the world. Before the world was created, he thought, there's going to be that person. I'm going to choose you. I'm going to choose you because I love you. That's the impact. He's saying, I chose you. I love you. Why is Jesus talking about this? Why is he saying, you're my friends and I've chosen you? So that they will experience his love, so they'll know it day by day. Because you can only pour it out if you know it. He's saying, you know this love I have for you. Now, pour this out for one another. So for us, we need to know Jesus' love, experience it, to know that we're his friends, chosen by him. If you're not yet a believer, this doesn't ban you from coming in. Actually, Jesus is saying, no, come, follow me. And you too will be one that I've chosen as well. Start following Jesus. Know his love poured out for you and me on the cross that we might be forgiven and know, come to know God. Know that love and then pour it out for others. See, this is how we connect to the tap. This is how we can love like a hose, by knowing Jesus's love. They're saying, actually, I want to remain in that love, and therefore I'm going to love other believers. By pouring out the same love that Jesus has shown me. By experiencing that love and pouring it out. Now, I just want to highlight three areas where maybe we could learn on this, where particularly we could grow in this. I think we as a church family, there is a lot of love that people show for one another. I think we're pretty good in a crisis with one another. Very good in a crisis. You guys do brilliantly on that over the years. I've seen that in so many ways. Can I just highlight a few things where I just think, let's make sure that we're either continuing to do this or growing in this. Let's think about loving those not like me. It's very easy, isn't it? We all sort of fall into the habit of hanging around with, talking to, relating to people who are like us. I think that's a natural tendency. We all do that. And so when we go through for coffee, it's very easy just to stick with the people that we know and we're comfortable with. Let's try to make sure that we are looking to love those not like me. Different age, different background, those who are just different from me. Let's look out for those people. Good over coffee. Keep an eye out for those who are just on their own. Look out for them and go and talk to them. We as a PCC have been trying to do this more over coffee time as well. We've been trying to, the PCC, the sort of the elected leadership of the church, we've been challenging one another to be doing this over coffee time, to be looking for those who are on their own, maybe those who could do with a conversation. Of course, we all need to be doing this, don't we? Look out for those not like you. Newcomers. I think we're quite good at welcoming newcomers. Let's keep going at it. Let's not just assume we're good at it. Let's keep working at it. Talking to people who are new, being sensitive, whether they want people talking to them or whether they just want to be anonymous and just sort of quiet. We need to be sensitive to that. But let's keep looking out for newcomers and looking to love them and serve them. And lastly, what about those who've been here longer than me? It can be easy to just assume that they're okay. That they, well, they're bound to have relationships in the church family and bound to be being loved because they've been here longer than me and they're likely to be sorted. That's not always the case. So let's love those. Basically, this is saying love everyone, isn't it? Let's look out for those who are new, those who've been here a long time, those not like me. Oh, and those like you as well. All right, so it's everyone. But it's easy, isn't it, just to go into my little group because that feels safe. Well, let's not just be safe. Let's love others. It'd be great, wouldn't it, if we as a church family were known for our love for one another. That's what Jesus is commanding us to do and to be, to love each other as he has loved us. Well, I'm going to give us just a minute just of quiet, and I want you just to have a think about those verses and what we've been challenged by, and I want you just to think, okay, what are you going to do as a result of this? Just going to give you a minute just to think about that. Can I encourage you to start putting this into practice straight away, straight after the service, over the lunch, to be looking for ways that we can love one another? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, please, that you would help us to grow in our love for one another, to do it because we want to remain in your love and to know your love to greater depths and to experience the joy that you have. Father, please help us to look to love one another self-sacrificially. Help us to experience your love for us in greater depths, that we would then pour that out in love for one another. Amen.